Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. So the Lord spoke to me, and my daughter and I, we started a food pantry in our city. And the Lord said to do that. And so we started feeding people on the back parking lot of a building I owned on our public square. And it was fine. They were coming. We were feeding them. And it got cold. It was getting too cold to be outside. And I said, Lord, I need a building. What are we going to do? And he said he had one for me. And so I started looking. And I found a building that they had foreclosed on. And I talked to the man about how much he wanted for it. And he told me, I had nothing down. You ever bought a building with no money? We did. So I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? See, the thing is, some of us, we want the whole picture, but he just gives you the first step. So if you don't take the first step, you don't get the second step, you don't get the third step. So he gave me the first step. The first step was I asked my friend Dutch if he would help me, and he sent out some letters for me, and we got some people who gave some money into the building, and I was short $6,000 the day before we were supposed to close on the loan. So the week before that, the owner of the building and the realtor came to me and said, are you going to buy this building? Because we don't care if you are a food pantry, we're kicking you out if you don't buy the building. I said, I'm going to buy the building. By faith. I didn't say that part. So I know you think I'm foolish, but you know, sometimes faith is foolish. And so I said, yeah, I'm buying it. So then the banker calls the day before we're supposed to close, and I'm short $6,000. I don't have it. And he said, are you going to buy this building tomorrow? I said, yes. Was I lying? Depends on how you look at it. The Lord said that we would have it. So I didn't know what to do. My husband and I, we were going to go drive up and see the kids. They live in Kansas City. So we're in the car, and I said, Lord, I got to have $6,000 more tomorrow, and I don't have it. He said, go through your phone, and a name will jump out at you and call them. What? Did I hear that right? See, I wouldn't have said that to myself. So I knew it had to be the Lord. So I went through my phone. A name jumped out at me. I called them. Part of me didn't want them to answer. They answered. And so I said to her, you know, this is Regina. Oh, hi, how are you doing? They knew me. And I said, you know, I'm trying to buy a building for our food pantry so we can get it off of the parking lot. And I'm short $6,000. I said, would you loan it to me for a few months? And she yells at her husband, hey! And I can tell you his name, but I won't. Can we loan Regina $6,000? And he says, when should you need it? And I said, tomorrow. He said, tell her we'll wire it today. I said, thank you so much. We bought the building. I was able to pay them back in about 3 months. We're in that building, and we still had quite a bit of a mortgage, but I have to tell you, it's totally paid for today. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, do I have bold faith? No. I just step out and think I'm going to fall or fail, but Jesus said it, so I'm going to do it. And I believe that when we walk by the Spirit, things are accomplished that our mind has no comprehension of. And I believe the Lord is showing you that you're a spirit being. You live in a body. Praise God, you have an intellect, so you can relate to the world around you. And you can learn things that your spirit men will apprehend in you. But I want to be led by the Spirit. I love being in the glory. And this morning was awesome. When she was up here and we were worshiping Randy, I saw this curtain, but I saw a curtain in front of it. And it was longer. It was the same, pretty much the same color. And it started coming down and opening up. And the Lord said, you're in the Holy of Holies. Now, I love being able to see in the Spirit. I wasn't able to do that much in the past. It wasn't a gift that I had. It had to be developed. And I love seeing what God is doing. And we taught on that yesterday, on how to see in the Spirit realm. And it's the eyes of your heart. And the Lord wants to activate that even more. Because where we're going, we need to be able to see what God is doing. What are you doing right here, right now, in this person's life? What are you doing right here, right now, in the school board? What are you doing right here, right now, in the government of this city? Show me what we need to do. Now, I'm from the Show Me State, right? And most people think that's skepticism. But when Dutch came, he said, you are the Show Me Your Glory State. And so we changed it to the glory. And before we got here this morning, the Lord said, I want you to talk about the glory. And then I think it's so much better to experience it than to just talk about it, don't you? And the Lord is pulling us into a new place. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, I always think the Lord wants us to give him glory, and he does. But he wants us to live in the glory. It's unto our glory. We are created to be there. When I gave that interpretation, I was telling them, Jackie, I didn't have anything until you handed me the microphone. Thank you so much. Put me on the spot. So that's what friends do. So God ordained before the world began unto our glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed it by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So I talk to the Spirit of God within me, and I say, Spirit of God within me, would you share some deep things with me today? Would you reveal some things about this situation? Lord, I'm here to listen to you. See, I think we have to be hungry. I think it says seek and find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and you'll receive. So let's ask. I feel like the Lord is saying that this morning that some of you aren't asking enough. Lord, I want more of you. I want to hear from you on another level. Lord, speak to me. Is this the job I'm supposed to have? Do you have another door for me that I need to walk through? Are there things in my life that are hindering me from moving forward with Jesus? Lord, speak to me. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man understood what God has revealed by the Spirit. The eye does not apprehend spiritual things. The ear does not apprehend them, and they're not apprehended even by the intellect. But the Spirit reveals them. So if you're wanting more from God, it's not going to come here initially. It's going to come from here. And come up into your mind. So, is this from the Lord? What source did it come from? Out here? No. In here. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't speak to you through a signboard. Doesn't mean he can't speak to you on the side of a truck. But your spirit man will recognize it. I'll never forget a friend of mine, her name was Dot, and she was pretty upset and said, Lord, I don't think I can do this anymore. I just don't know. You're just going to have to talk to me in a way that I will get it, and I'm just not getting it. So she's down the road. She's on interstate, and she's driving. She's praying about that, and she looks over at this truck, and it said, US, Dot, U.S. Department of Transportation. How are we going to get this done? US, Dot. She saw that. I mean, you know, you just got to be watching for it, you know. I was at a place, we were in a church years ago very much involved in condemnation, to make you do, to earn heaven. I went to them one time and I said, what have you done enough? They said, we don't know until we get there. And God tells us. I said, I'm not following you guys. You're lost. But I was still struggling. I was going to college at the time, and I was in my car, and I was doing the same thing to all of us. I was saying, Lord, you're going to speak to me in a big way. I don't know. Is it grace or works? Because it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's right there in the Bible. And then it says, by grace you're saved, that nobody can boast. Which one is it? I look up. A truck is coming by me. It says, grace. I said, speak to me in a big way. There's a big semi, tractor, trailer. I love how God speaks through trucks. I mean, he can speak through so many things. But our spirit man apprehends it. And God wants you to apprehend by the Spirit what he's saying to you. And here's the problem. Much of the church has forgotten there's something you cannot get a hold of with your head. And yesterday we talked about how we're not to build the church, we're to unlock the kingdom. And the Lord said, drop the hammer and pick up the keys. Don't drop the hammer, that'd be too hard. But drop the hammer. We're not to build the church. Jesus is to build the church. He said, I will build my church. And we're to pick up the keys and unlock the kingdom. God has given you keys, most of us, that we haven't used yet. So we speak, Lord, we take the keys to the kingdom and we unlock the kingdom in this region of Georgia and beyond. And beyond, God has given you those keys. Well, I have a word for this area. And then I have a couple other things I want to share with you this morning. But when I was praying for this ministry, particularly Jackie, I began to see a wheel. And we know in Ezekiel 1 that Ezekiel was at the river Chebar and he saw a wheel within a wheel. Well, I saw a wheel that it was like a wagon wheel, but it wasn't vertical like it was on a wagon. It was laying flat like it was going to open something in the ground. And it was horizontal. And I began to see, Jackie, you trying to turn that thing and open it. And so you started turning, and others started joining with you, and it moved a little bit. And it moved a little bit more. And then I began to see the Lord looking at your efforts. And he said, I'm sending help from my sanctuary to open that closed oil well. And I believe it was the oil of the anointing. If it's more than that, praise God, I get 10%. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. There is a word about that. Okay. But I just saw this well of anointing that people had walked by and ignored. I wonder what that is. But they didn't turn aside to look like Moses did in the burning bush. Okay, so if he didn't turn aside to look, he would not have heard from God that he was the deliverer for a nation. So people have walked by it and gone on because they had things to do. You know, Moses could have said, well, I'm just going to take care of my sheep. I don't know what that is, but it's weird. Go on. But you've turned aside to look. And you begin to turn the wheel. And I heard the Lord say, I'm sending help, and I'm going to help you open up that oil. And there's so much oil in there. And it's not putrid. You'd think, like, if it was sealed, it would be putrid or smell good or anything. But it was the purest oil. You could see through it. You could almost see your reflection in it. And the Lord, I heard the Lord say that I'm going to help you open that. You're going to open up a well in this region that people are going to want to come to. It's not only a well of oil, but there is also a well of salvation in it. And you know, there are so many wells of salvation that have been opened in this nation that the Philistines came and just threw their dirt into them. We know that story, that Isaac's wells, the Philistines came and said, I'm going to fill that up so you can't have any water. That's what religion does. Yeah, come on. I'm about to get anointed. That's what religion does. It takes your dirt and throws it right back at you. Because if you can't do what God said for you to do, then you are not qualified to do anything. And we disqualify ourselves. And the Lord says, I am breaking religion off of you. And you're going to be able to break it off this region because I've broken it off of you. You cannot break it off until it's been broken off of you. So we cannot give somebody something we don't have. And if we don't have freedom from religion, we can't give everybody else freedom from religion. And I'm telling you, God is freeing you for a purpose. You thought it was just about you, and it is. But it's about a region as well. And this region needs a people who are free. This region needs a people who know how to go into the Holy of Holies and get answers from heaven and bring them into the earth. This region needs intercessors that know how to go from heaven, from earth into heaven, get what's needed and bring it back to the earth. This region needs you. And nobody is disqualified in this room. If you feel disqualified, the devil is lying to you. It's not even about you and what you can do, although God's given you gifts he will use. It is about his glory upon you. And I can't get away from the wheel. And you know, in Ezekiel 1, it talks about the wheel. So let's go there for a moment. And Jackie and I were talking earlier. Ezekiel is a huge book for me. And I think it was for Jackie as well, she said. So let's look at Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is a place where the glory is manifesting in this Bible. And I love this. Excuse me. In the 30th year, I'm in the verse, chapter 1, in the fourth month on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Chebar River, the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. Okay, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Regina, I want you to go to the Chebar River and I want you to stay there. Because I want to give you visions of God. What does that mean? When he told me that, I didn't even know what it meant. I said, okay, God, what do I do? And I looked up Chebar, and it means connected or connecting. And so what he wanted to do was connect with me so that I would see what I hadn't seen before. And I love this scripture. Because I would say, Lord, I'm going to go to the river Chebar with you today. And I'm going to listen to what you would say to me. And I begin to see pictures, not in my with my eyes, but in my heart. What is that I'm seeing? I'm seeing a sheep metamorphosize. Help me get that word up. Metamorphosize. I think that's 5 syllables. Wow, that's good for me. Metamorphosize into a lion. And so what happened was, in this vision, I shared it recently, this sheep was like the skin was coming off. Greg had something similar, Greg Hood. And I looked inside, and there was a lion coming forth in the midst of the sheep. Hello, lions. Sometimes the church wants to keep you a little sheep, and we'll take care of you. Is it cool enough for you in here? Well, listen, we'll get you a blanket if you're too cold. I don't care. I'm sorry if you're cold or hot. That's not my problem. You bring your own stuff. I want to hear from God. I want to know what God's saying. So the sheep, you know, I mean, you see Jesus all the time, these old pictures. Did you see him when you went to church, Randy? I mean, there was a picture of Jesus with a little sheep on his back. He will carry you. You know, well, he's carried me. Now he's dropped me at the river Chebar. And I want to stay there. I don't want to be a sheep anymore. That's bad. I know that's corny, but But I don't want to be a little sheep anymore. You know, and even in Zechariah, it says, I will make you a proud horse in battle. There's more than one analogy of who you are. You were a sheep. You graduated to a proud horse in battle. And now you're a lion of the tribe of Judah who prevails over his enemies. We are going to roar with him against his enemies. This is a time to no longer be a sheep. It is a time to even graduate from being that proud horse in battle into a place where you roar with the lion of the tribe of Judah, knowing who you are and what you have within you. You know, sometimes I look at things and I say, that's not happening on my watch. America is not falling because I'm here. Come on, know who you are. You know, that Supreme Court, they're going to reverse Roe versus Wade. Why? Because I'm going to pray. Are they stronger than the lion of the tribe of Judah? Are they going to prevail over us? The answer is no. God is able to save this nation, and he's going to. And we are going to work with him. So what happens at the River Chebar? Sorry, I changed the subject on you. Okay, got a little surge of anointing there. So at the River Chebar, he had visions of God. He saw the wheel within the wheel. He saw the wheels move. He saw creatures move. In verse 24, when the creatures move, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of what, Jackie? Rushing waters. We played the sound of Niagara Falls yesterday because of what Clay's dream was about, the water. It sounded, the intercession of the saints sounded like water. And here's the rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. And he talks about how they, when they stood still, they lowered their wings. So he goes on and talks about that. And I love having visions of God. What do they mean? He also said in verse 25, then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. Visions of God. And high above on the throne was a figure like a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist, up he looked like glowing metal as if full of fire. And that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. Now listen to this. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard a voice speaking. When you really encounter the glory, you're going to be face down. You're either going to fall under the power of God or you're going to be on your face. And we had a taste of that this morning. The glory of God was here. Anybody want more? It's like, you know, I make my husband banana bread every morning for his breakfast every morning. I'm a good wife. Anyway, he has to have banana bread every morning. He always wants more. So I make 3 loaves at a time, put them in the freezer. I'm almost out of banana bread. He wants more. So I'm always making banana bread. You know what? I really don't mind. It's easy. I've got it down to an art now. But, you know, we want what tastes good to us. We want more of that. And God wants to give you more glory than you've ever encountered before. Now let's go to Revelation. I love Revelation 1. And this is John, of course, on the Isle of Patmos. And he's talking to us here in verse 9. And he says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Okay, I don't know about you, but if they put me on an island and I didn't have any food and I didn't have any water and I didn't have a bed to sleep in and I didn't have anything but an island, I'd be grumping. He knew he was there for a purpose. Do you know you're here for a purpose? Then what are you grumping about? I mean, wherever you are. You know, we went to Bosnia. I'm going to get to the next verse in a minute. We went to Bosnia. I took some new people with me. And I don't care if I sleep on a lumpy bunk. It doesn't matter to me. We're here for a purpose, not my good sleep. So I took these people with us, and I had a lady with me. And actually, it was a coal furnace. It was cold. And the man forgot, quote unquote, to light the furnace. And so we didn't have blankets with us. And so we're laying on a mattress that's lumpy and a little sheet, and we're freezing. But finally, he came and lit the furnace. And then my allergies acted like they were crazy. Okay, am I going to focus on that, or am I going to focus on what God called us to do? So we got up the next morning, and this girl was so upset. I didn't come for this kind of thing. Blah, 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 blah. And I looked, she put on socks that had Igor on them. She did. I just looked at her and said, you need to change your socks. This is true story. You weren't there. It wasn't her. Okay, it was somebody else. And I said, you know, I'm going to be Tigger this morning. You can be Igor if you want to, but I'm going to be so excited that I'm here in Bosnia, and I am here to change a nation, and I'm here because God put me here, and we have great connections, and powerful things are going to happen in the next few days. Yes, I slept on a lumpy mattress. Yes, I didn't have enough covers. Yes, my allergies are acting up, but I don't really care, but I'm focusing on bringing the glory of God to a nation. So I have a word for some of you. Change your socks. I mean, you know, don't be Debbie Downer. This Debbie's not a downer. But, you know, we need to just see what God is showing us. If we look at things in the natural, it looks like we're stuck, or it looks like we're cold, or it looks like we don't have enough. My God is big enough. And, you know, Paul said this, and I haven't quite gotten there yet, but he said, I am content in whatever circumstance I find myself. God's working on me in that area. Contentment is great gain. I choose contentment. The only contentment I had a lot of trouble with was when I had an MRI. I was not content because the machine broke down two or three times and I'm laying in this tube. So I worshiped, I prayed, I decreed I'm getting out of this one of these days. But I'm trying to have great gain. They didn't find much. I was healthy. Okay, so let's look at Revelation 1 again. And then it says on verse 16, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. What do you mean I was in the Spirit? Well, his spirit man began to operate, and he began to go there with Jesus. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll which you see and send it to the seven churches. So God began to download to him things from the spirit realm. And I love this part, 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned around, I saw. It's kind of like Moses turning aside to see. It's like us taking the time to see what God wants to show us. Some of us are getting like flashes on our heart. Wonder what that was. Okay, I'm going to go get some coffee. No. Unpack it. Look at it. What is God saying to you? He turned around. God is turning you around to look and see what you've never seen before. Because he is restoring to the body of Christ the glory. Do you want the glory? Or do you just want to get out and go to lunch before the rest of the churches? What do you want in church? When you go in, look for Jesus. When I go into a church, I'm looking for him. And we went on vacation, we go to Casa del Mar, Longboat Key in Florida most of the time. And so we decided we'd go visit this church. Oh, sorry, it's just funny. So we walk in, I'm looking for Jesus. I can't find him. I mean, they're having a song, and they're having little announcements. They had cookies and coffee now. But I couldn't find, I said, Jesus, where are you? And I couldn't find him in that place. They had pictures. I couldn't find Jesus. Where's your spirit? You can sense when Jesus is there. If you can't, you're in big trouble. You can sense when he's not there. And so last year, year before last, we didn't go last year. So I go with my three sisters and all of our husbands. And they said, well, let's go to church. Let's go back to the one we went. I said, no, he's not there. He's not there. So this is what we did. In the condo, we got our chairs, and we just sat around, and we each had a word. We began to sing a song. We had a prayer. We had our own church, and Jesus was there. I'd rather go in a small place where Jesus is than a big place where he isn't. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. He's here. He came in with you. You carried him in here. I'll never forget the time I was asking. I won't tell you it was because I might embarrass him. Well, he's not alive anymore. Never mind. I won't embarrass him. Are you guys having fun? Anyway, I asked this guy one time. He said, do you have Jesus in your heart? He said, well, he's in there, but I don't let him out. Let him out. Let him out. You know, some of us have not been bold enough to let him out. We need to let him out at the school board. We need to let him out at the city council. We need to let him out in our homes. We need to let him out at Walmart. We need to let him out at the restaurant. We need to let Jesus out. He's like, I'm tired of being contained in your vessel, and you won't let me out. You're carrying him around, but he wants to speak through you. Well, maybe it isn't God. Maybe it is. You ever think of that? Maybe it is. The Lord wants to use your voice. I just see you right there. Hello, young lady. You're sitting next to the guy there, and you have orange on. And I heard the Lord say, let him out more, more. He wants to use you in miraculous ways. There's a miracle working God inside of you. And he said, when you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. I believe the Lord says you have a gift of healing. And he wants you. You don't even have to say much. Just touch him. Bump into somebody in Walmart. I don't know. Somewhere. The anointing of God for healing is on you. I don't know if it's bloodline or what it is, but you have that anointing. And I believe the Lord has called you today to be here for me to say this to you. From today on, your life is changing. Because you're going to know who you are. You're going to know who you are. I loved my mom. And the more old she got, she said, you know, Regina, I'm going to go to the hospital and pray for those old people. She was older than them. But I love that. You know, we have a gifting within us that hasn't been used. I decree over you, you're going to start unwrapping your gift. God has given you gifts. You didn't earn them. He gave them. You grow in the fruit. You just contain the gifts. Grow in the fruit because that'll help your gifts. But use the gifts God has given you. You know, now it's okay to go up to somebody and say, and you don't even know them, you know, I think I have a word from the Lord for you. You don't know. It's okay. I mean, why isn't it okay? Well, I don't even know them. Doesn't matter. God knows them, and he's wanting you to talk to them. And so we have to be bolder than we've ever been in these days. How many of you know that people are putting their opinions on you? You need to be afraid. You need to do this. You need to do that. I don't need to do anything except what the Lord tells me to do. It's not rebellion. It's being led by the Spirit. So let's finish up here in Revelation and we'll finish. Okay, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was one like a son of man. It's Jesus again. We saw him in Ezekiel, right? Now we're seeing him in Revelation. Both times the glory of God was there. When the glory is here, you will see Jesus. you will experience him because he is the glorified Son. He was dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. I love this about his feet. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And here's the sound again, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. That's that same sound we heard yesterday, like Niagara Falls. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I want to join that voice. You know, when we were singing a while ago, I made sounds I hadn't made before. Why? Because the sound of rushing waters was here, releasing sounds out of me. I was like, I'd like to hear those again, but I don't even know if I can say that again. God is so good, but he wants to touch you with his glory. Wow. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. I want you to know you have that same sword. I decree America will be saved. Yes. Don't talk about the problem. Speak the answer. We talk about the problem too much. The Lord said, speak the answer. What is your problem? I don't want to know. Speak the answer. You go to counselor after counselor after counselor. What's your problem, dear? Are you speaking the answer? That's what I tell people. I won't hear the problem unless you're speaking the answer and you need help getting over it. Then I'll help you. But speak the answer out and you will see deliverance come. So in his face was like a sun shining in its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. See, that's what happens in the glory. People fall down or get on their face. Here it is again. Same thing as Ezekiel. Do not be afraid. He put his right hand on me. I want Jesus to put his hand on me. I want him to touch me. Anywhere, just to feel the glory. I want him to touch me and make me different. I want to be like you. So he put his hand on me, John said. He said, I want you to hear this. Do not be afraid. Look at your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. The world is full of fear. We were coming down the elevator out of the hotel yesterday. They wouldn't get on the elevator with us. I'm really not very dangerous to most people, but they were afraid to get on the elevator. Do not be afraid. And I decree this over America. Do not be afraid. God is with you. God is with you. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. See, he conquered it. And behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to what? Death and Hades. So if people are afraid of death, what's their problem? They don't know Jesus well enough. If people are afraid, they don't know the word, I guess, because it says, I've not given you fear. So where's it come from if he didn't give it to you? either your soul from traumas or from the enemy. It originated even in your soul from the enemy. So I want to decree over you today, too. And then we're going to finish up. Jackie, I'm going to turn it over to you. Would you stand with me, please? I want to say over you, taste and see the Lord is good. I have tasted and I have seen that He is good. I want you to experience God, because that's where true faith comes from, when you have experienced Him for yourself. You can sit in a college all day, and I'm not saying don't go. Don't go to some of them. They're very liberal. But when you go to a Bible college, you can learn about Him. But do you know Him? Do you know Him? He knows you, and He wants you to know Him. You may know Him, but He wants you to know Him on another level. He is bigger than we think, and He has more to tell you. And, you know, I could probably prophesy over everybody in this room. You know why? Not because I'm so good, but because God is. Because He gives you something to say. Be instant in season. Don't go to your head whenever. I mean, I don't have anything up there. Good. Good. Let the Spirit of God flow through you. Okay? Let the Spirit of God flow through you. Some of you have co-workers that need a word from the Lord, and you've been afraid to give it to them. Well, that's probably just me. It is you speaking, but it's Him talking through you. You have to open your mouth before He will come out of it. He will not force you to open your mouth. Open your mouth, and I will fill it. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, open your mouth, and He will fill it. And tell Him to quit holding back. God needs you. He does. You're part of the army. We are activating the army this weekend. And if you're not activated, come up here and I'll kick you in the... Oh, never mind. If you're not activated... You remember Smith Wigglesworth? There was a dead baby and he kicked it off the stage. I won't do that for you. And it did come alive. But I'm here to say God is about ready to say, come on now. Half the army is sitting there thinking they're not worthy and thinking they don't have anything to say because they're still in the mental realm. He said, I gave you a spirit to apprehend me. Apprehend me. So, Lord, I thank You that You are apprehending us today, and that from the throne of God, You have come to us. You have come to us today, and You have invited us into the Holy of Holies, which is open to us from now on, because the curtain has been rent from top to bottom. And so, Lord, we've been invited. We haven't come because we felt we were unworthy. We haven't come because we thought we were too busy. We haven't come because of shame. We haven't come for so many reasons. And the Lord says, come, come now. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I have made them white as snow. You are clean before the Lord. And the Lord says to you, I am activating you today. Will you receive the activation? In fact, I see the Lord like, it's almost like a lighter or matches. And He's like lighting the wick again. And it's not just a candle. It is an explosion. I see dynamite inside of you, and I see that little thing. What's it called? It's not a wick. It's something. Fuse. There you go. So He's going to fuse you and infuse you with His power, and you are going to explode with an activation after this weekend, and God is going to use you in ways you never thought possible. In Jesus' name, arise. And shine. Your light has come. The power of God is within you. He needs you in this season. So quit negating yourself. Some of you have looked in the mirror and said, I fire myself. The Lord said, I'm going to fire you with my fire. And you can't fire yourself. You're in the army. You're in the army. So rise up. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow. The glory of God. Wow. Thank you, Regina. Wow. Woo. Such an incredible, incredible weekend. This is only the beginning. Yeah, I was about to say, if you have not sewn in to today, you need to before you leave. Just you can come up at any time as we're dismissing. We will be back Tuesday night for our Advancing Faith Institute class, 7 o'clock. If you want to come early, a lot of us come and bring our dinner about 5:30 and just share a time of fellowship together. It's a great way to get to know people and just spend some relaxation time around each other. And then we meet at 7 for about until about a quarter till 9, because then I run out of here and go get on the 9 o'clock prayer call with Clay. Pray for me on Tuesdays. It's a long day, but it's worth it. So I do want to let you know that on August the 20, I think it's the 9th, it's the last Sunday of the month, Dr. Francis Miles, who is a prolific author. I think he's written like 14 books or something. But he's going to come and speak on altars. So it'll be a powerful, powerful night. I said night, morning. Morning. We used to meet in the evening, and my brain sometimes switches. And then we've got some other things. I don't even know what's going on. The end of October, I will be with Dr. Miles at a conference downtown Atlanta. The link is on our Facebook page, and I will get it up on our website. If you're interested in going, there is a registration fee, and there's a special code to get a discounted registration if you want to go because you're connected here. So I hope you'll come and join us. Pray for me as I even now begin to prepare for that meeting. It's got quite a lineup that I've had to overcome myself. I had to die to me again to step onto that platform. But I know God has said this is an assignment and a time to step into it. So I bless you all. I look forward to seeing you again. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:30 and Tuesday night. God bless. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Debbie. And thank you. We give God the glory. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.